Amen. Can we thank our worship team? These guys are so gifted and so blessed, and they take us before the throne every day. Now, you guys need to get now. Go ahead, just get out of it. You know, we don't have a bumper today, but we'll have one next week because we kick off a new series. But these guys are, give them a round of applause again. They rock. You guys are awesome. Do you play a musical instrument? Are you very good at it? I'm terrible. Can you sing? I sound great in the shower. Please stand as we continue to, we're going to read God's word, then you can sit down, but a great text and something we want you guys to be thinking on today as we journey here this morning. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47 says, "And those who accepted his message," this was Peter preaching, "those who accepted Peter's message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Hebrews 10 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Lord God Almighty, we always seem to be one day closer to your return. We look at what's happening in the world. We see the birth pains of our planet, and we recognize that when the coming of Christ returns, that there will be many things happening. It seems like these are almost dress rehearsals. Lord, may we be ever watchful and waiting, present of your presence. God, may we be mindful of your existence, that you are here and that you are with us, and you are the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Father, we lift before you our brothers and sisters, our fellow Americans and humans in Florida right now. God, we pray for them and this great displacement of millions of people and this amazing storm that's hitting Florida as we speak. We pray, Lord God, that you would use this opportunity to teach people to love one another, to pray for one another, and to be compassionate and kind. May the better parts of our humanity come out in times like this. We pray, Lord God, for your touch in this mess. Lord, we think of those in Houston. We pray for them and their recovery as people have lost so many things that they built their lives around. And now, what is the essence of their life? You're the one that said, Jesus, that moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but our treasures are in a place that can never be taken away. And we give you praise for that. We lift before you, God, the people in Mexico with this earthquake that's hit just this all in this last couple weeks. We pray, Lord God, your touch and compassion upon them. God, may you use things like this to draw us closer to you. May you remind us once again, God, that we are not the center of the universe. And our lives are very fragile, that we are like a vapor that passes in the wind. We humbly come before you this morning. We gather in the name of Jesus. We ask, God, that you would bless this assembly and our time here together. And this we ask in your most holy name. And all those who love the Lord would say, what? Amen. Y'all may be seated and good morning. Well, Pastor Vince did an amazing sermon last week, did he not? That was so amazing. I hope you're all done with your family vacations because it's pretty much done deal, right? I mean, everybody's back in school. My wife started up school this last week. She's teaching. My son went to, he's in college. So my son Jordan's at Point Loma, and I dropped him off last week, but last week was like his, you know, syllabus, and this week he's really kicking in. He was starting school really this week coming up. He has an anatomy class. He says, Dad, he goes, I walked into my anatomy class, and he said, I looked into the classroom. He says, there's one other guy in the class and 48 girls. I know. He's pretty stoked. He says, I said, so Jordan, I go, dude, you find the cutest, hot-looking, smartest girl and say, do you want to study together? So he's, hey, man, for a lot of us, it's kind of, the summer's over. We're just kicking in for a lot of people, like in school. This is the start of the year for many people, and we're starting off and kicking off. God bless all the teachers. I'm seeing all you guys. Hope you had a good summer. Dot, way to go, Brian. As things are kicking off, we're doing all kinds of new stuff here. We're going to be launching our small groups this week. We're going to be kicking off a brand new parenting class. It's going to be starting up pretty soon. You need to be part of that. Starting in October, we're going to be kicking off a brand new we're calling it Christian Foundations. It's a modular Christian education program. There's 6 weeks classes that you can take. They're going to be before the service from 9 to 10. My brother Mike's going to be teaching that. Professor Cranford is going to be helping us lead that, and it's really good stuff, and it just, if you want to grow deeper in theology and so forth, these are the classes for you. We're going to have a blast with that. Next week, we're going to be starting off a brand new series here called Questions, and we've really enjoyed all the questions that you guys have sent us. We as pastors sit in the room, and we're just reading these going, that's a good question, that's a good question, that's a good question, oh, that's a good question. And we, here, there they are. We've done our absolute best to categorize them and put them in. And basically for this next series we're going to start next week, we want to scratch you where you're itching at. So this is how it's going to play out. Next week we're going to start off this series called Questions by asking trying to answer the question, why does bad things happen to good people? So that was the majority of the questions. People always have questions about evil and why do bad things happen? And so we're going to try to hit that one as we start off this series. The next week will be, why am I here? There were so many questions. Well, people saying, what was God's point in even making me or creating me? Well, and why am I here? That's a great question. And then we're going to be doing the next week called, what's the deal with heaven? Many people had questions. What's heaven all about? What's heaven all about? And then the next week, if we're going to be speaking on heaven 1 week, what should we speak on the other week? Hell. What's the deal with hell? Lots of questions. Why would a loving God send someone to hell? Good question. Good question. From there, we're going to be, a lot of you had questions. One person said specifically, why does the God of the Old Testament seem somewhat different than the God of the New Testament? And then there was lots that kind of revolved around that. We're like, let's go for it. We're going to answer that question. Some of those are pretty basic. They're questions like, is it okay for Christians to gamble? Is it okay for Christians to do this or this or this? And so we're going to do one just kind of on holiness and kind of hitting a bunch of questions about gambling, drinking, sex before marriage. One person said, isn't Christianity old-fashioned and out of step with modern life? Right? And then lastly, people, why is there so many denominations? Why so many denominations? And that's how we're going to end this series. And so we're going to have some fun with this. Now, outside of those main big ones, we're going to be Pastor Vince and Pastor Graham and my brother Mike and myself, we're going to be going into the studio and just answering these questions as best as we can, and we're going to be putting them on our Facebook. We're going to be putting them on our website, so you can just go and listen to us give our best shot at how we would answer your questions. So that all starts next week, okay? Lots of new things happening. Good stuff going on. We're going to have a blast. Well, we just ended our series on heavenly heroes, and I thought maybe I'd like to show you something pretty cool this morning as we kicked it off. And I haven't got a picture of it, but I don't know if you're going to see the picture as much, but I think this is probably one of the coolest shirts. Give me that picture up there. This is a great sweatshirt. Dalapo, yeah. Oh, okay, everybody, do this. This is a great sweatshirt that it has Captain America, the Hulk, Iron Man, and Thor, and they're all looking at Jesus, and he's sitting in their middle, and he's telling them, and that's how I saved the world. Is that the coolest sweatshirt? Now, it was too cold for me. It's too hot to wear this, but I'll probably wear this in this around Christmas time or something. But kind of cool, man, right? So I love this. This is how I save the world, and they're all just listening to Jesus, telling them, you guys think you saved the world. Let me tell you how I saved the world. Is there any Marvel comic fans in here? There is a few of you. Hollywood's been making a lot of money with Captain America. He had his own movie. And then you had Iron Man. He had his own movie. You had Thor. He had his own movie. But as they were building these, they were brilliant in Hollywood. They had, they call them the first of, and they were all doing these individual movies, but then this circumstance hit where all of these superheroes had to come together in order to save the world. Does anyone know what that movie's called? There was one movie where they all had to come together. What was that movie called?
The Avengers.
So Iron Man, all of them coming together, created this team called the Avengers. And the Avengers had to learn how to work together. They had to come alongside each other in order to defeat a really powerful foe and save the world. The first Avenger movie, them coming together. Well, see, people 2,000 years, by the way, Jesus is the one that's, all this is fake, right? But Jesus is real. But the idea is brilliant. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross and he rose from the dead. He's telling them, this is how I save the world. And eternally, right? Right? Jesus comes up out of the grave. He's defeated death. He's washed away our sin. And he's given you and I freedom. He's connected us to the Father. And our sins, which are many, will never be counted against us because he took them all upon himself. Eternity. Eternal life. Life beyond the grave, everlasting life. Jesus gives this to us. He's purchasing and bringing heaven back to us through his sacrifice. And as Jesus came up out of the grave, he ascended into heaven after 40 days, and he told his disciples to stay in Jerusalem and wait until the power of the Lord came upon them, and then they need to team up and learn how to work together and go preach and bring his gospel to the four corners of the earth. And it says this, and by the way, this is kind of neat. I have a picture here called the Southern Steps, and if anyone's ever been to Israel or you're planning on going with me next year, many people say when you ask them what was the most meaningful place that you visited, they will say this place. The temple is to the left. The Mount of Olives is right over there on the flip side. They've dug up 48 mikvahs just down here. It's a major archaeological dig that happened years ago. This is called the Southern Steps of the Temple Mount. This was Jesus walked on these very steps. Jesus taught on these steps. And many scholars believe that it was here that the Apostle Peter stood up. They say he was at the house. He was at the house of the Lord. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Peter stood up here and preached his first sermon at Jesus' pulpit. And it was here, they believe, is when the people were coming up at Pentecost, heard the miracle that had happened here, people speaking in other languages, and Peter preaching with such power and authority that 3,000 people got saved on these steps. The church was born here, and they were all baptized right in the mikvahs, all in one day. It's beautiful. It's powerful. When you go there and you walk this place, when you go walk where Jesus walked, it's powerful. And the scriptures just come alive. It was here at the southern steps of the Temple Mount where the church began. Peter preached about Jesus, and the people believed, and the church began. And the effects of that moment here ripples into this room this morning, 2,000 years later. Now listen to this. I just want to read it again. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number. Listen to what the early church did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to communion, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Can you imagine? Every day they continued to meet together at the temple, just right where we were. They were coming to the temple every day, worshiping. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily people that were getting saved. It was a formula for success. They grew in God's word. They worshiped together corporately in temple courts, but they met together in family homes for fellowship, for Christian fellowship. Why would people not just go to church on a Sunday, but why would they meet together in family homes? Why would they, during the midweek, go into people's homes and get together in smaller groups? Why did the Christians do that 2,000 years ago? Does anyone know why? Why do you think? To keep you stronger? Can you want to take notes with me this morning? I want you have notes in your worship folder. I want you to just write these out. Oh man, did I release the kids, by the way? Does all the kids get released? Pastor Frank, dude, hey, if all the kids are in here, then you guys, I screwed up. Write this down. Is this a true statement? Christian relationships are formed more effectively in circles than in rows. Is that true? Christian relationships are formed more effectively in circles than in rows. Is that true? Why did they do that 2,000 years ago? Because in order for them to come together and really be united with each other, you can't do that in a big group of people. You get together in smaller groups. Relationships are formed better when you're in circles than in rows. These people worshiped corporately, but relationally they connected in homes. They shared their lives better in homes. They were able to pray more specifically for each other in homes. They journeyed better together in their lives in homes. You can love someone more specifically in homes, bearing each other's burdens and so forth. Okay, in the New Testament, over 50 times you will find the words or the phrases one another or each other used. Listen to this. Write this down. Over 50 times in the New Testament, we see these words. We are to love each other. Did Jesus give us a new commandment? Do you remember what it was? I command you to love one another as I have loved you. We are commanded to love one another. We're commanded to pray for each other. We're told to encourage each other, to admonish each other, to serve each other. We're told to accept each other. We as followers of Jesus are to honor each other. We're commanded to forgive each other. We're told to be committed to each other, to bear one another's burdens, to rejoice with each other, and to teach each other in the love of Christ. Love each other, pray for each other, encourage each other, admonish each other, serve each other, accept each other, honor each other, forgive each other, be committed to each other, bear each other's burdens, rejoice with one another, and teach each other in the love of Christ. Who are you doing this with? And who are you doing this to? Pastor Frank, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Pastor Frank, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I listen to Christian radio. I listen to Christian podcasts. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. True. That's true. But you will not be effective doing that. How do you love one another on a podcast? How do you encourage one another with a Christian? You can't be, you're going to speak to the radio and try to encourage them? I got to, you know, come on, people. We were designed to be in community together. The Christian faith is designed to be together. If you're going to save the world, you got to have the Avengers Initiative. You work together. You serve together. You got to do these one another's with one. Is that pretty logical, Pastor Frank? That seems kind of simple to me. Yeah, tell me about it. The early Christians couldn't carry out the mission of Jesus without being with each other. They needed each other. Can someone show me in the Bible anywhere in the New Testament, in the Gospel specifically, where Jesus sent out one of his disciples alone? Did Jesus ever send out one of his disciples alone? I can't find it. He always sent them out in groups. He always sent them out in pairs. Always together. Always together. Always together. Why? Because we do this in community. We do this with each other. It's interesting. You know, we just did, I so enjoyed our series on heavenly heroes out of Hebrews chapter 11, an amazing chapter in the New Testament about all these people that God used, heavenly superheroes, that ordinary people used in not so ordinary ways because they just trusted and believed in God. Hebrews 11, amazing. Abraham, Moses, David, Gideon, Joseph, Rahab, I mean, superheroes. That's Hebrews 11. Hebrews 10, do you want to know what the secret of their success was? In Hebrews 10, it says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." This was in the chapter before. "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Teamwork, teamwork, being together, work, being together, working together, focusing on working as a team, sharing life together, encouraging each other, how to love, how to do good deeds, get in there, working together. Who are you spurring on toward love and good deeds? Who was the last person you spurred on to love and good deeds? Because it's the right thing to do. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you encouraged a brother or a sister in their spiritual faith in Jesus? When was the last time someone encouraged you to do the right thing with love and good deeds? Who was the last person that did that to you? Who was the last person when you were down, got picked up by a brother or sister? Who was the last person that did that to you? I tell you this story quite often. I'm a police chaplain, and one day I was riding down in a police car, and I could tell the guy that I was riding was like, "I got the chaplain. He's probably trying not to cuss in front of me, you know." And he was a little, you know, "I'm riding with the chaplain, you know, like, ha ha ha," you know. But as we hung out, we were, you know, "Hey man, it's cool, and I appreciate what you do, and you're an instrument of justice and righteousness in this city, and I thank you for your calling and how you serve one." And one time this guy, he looks over and he goes, "Chaplain," he goes, so "you're a pastor at that church on Branca?" "That's right." He goes, "Well, what's your church in business for?" I said, "That's a good question. We exist to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. That's what we're in business for. We're in business to help all people of every nation, as much as anyone, to meet Jesus and to know Jesus. But the real money, people, comes not in just meeting and knowing him. Even the demons believe in him and they shudder. The money comes in when we follow Christ. When we commit our lives to saying, 'He rose from the dead, he probably knows something better than me, and I should follow this dude because he's calling me to follow him with my life.' When we commit ourselves to following Jesus, that's where it really happens. And that's the goal. To be a follower of Jesus is to be called a disciple. Jesus says, 'Go make disciples of all nations,' you know, 'teaching them all I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age.' To be a disciple is to be a follower, to follow Christ. And when we can follow Jesus together, when we can encourage one another to keep following him together in the good days and the bad, to spur on their love and good needs, to encourage one another as we follow Jesus. That's where it's at. And we came up with this phrase, and write this down because I believe it's as true as you are being here today. People, discipleship happens in meaningful relationships. Write that down. Discipleship happens in meaningful relationships. Spiritual growth happens in meaningful relationships. It's a true statement. It's as true as today is today. And I hope you have time of reflecting on this statement. I hope that in your spiritual journey, you can reflect and say, would you be the same person you are today if it wasn't for the people that God put in your life, the meaningful relationships that God put in your life that brings you to who you are today? It's in community. Very rarely do you read someone say, oh, I just heard a sermon one day and it completely changed my life. Though the sermon was important, it happened with Peter in Acts 2. But it's usually when people come inside your life and begin encouraging you and prompting you. When I wasn't even a Christian, my cousin on the North Shore began sharing Jesus with me, Steve Mock. I came back to the mainland as this guy was telling me about Jesus, and I'm just like really pushing back, but kind of interested. There's this guy named Dave that was on a construction crew. He began sharing Jesus with me, gave me my first Bible that I began reading as an adult, read through the Gospels. Meeting my friend Steve Gifford, he's the one that took me to a forest home and said, Frank, you need to come up here. That's where I bowed my knee and gave my life to Jesus. A guy named Tony Campolo was speaking that week. Coming back and getting involved in my first church and thinking of a guy like John Haslett who became my first Paul. We were roommates in Dana Point together, and this guy was a solid Christian brother, and I was a brand new believer in Jesus. He poured into me, and he taught me not just how to surf, but he taught me how to walk with Jesus. It's all relationships. As I reflect back on my life, it's always been in a community of relationships that I grew in my faith. Is that your story, yes or no? Did you do this all on your own? It's in community, people. Discipleship happens in meaningful relationships. In meaningful relationships. It's so important. Ironing, sharpening iron, stirring in God's word into our lives. It's all because of meaningful relationships. And where does the meaningful come from? It comes from the Word of God. For us at this church, the best thing that's happened to this church in the last 5 years has been when we began doing what we call sermon-based growth groups. And it's a philosophy of ministry that rocks. And we've seen God just honor what we've been doing, seeing how God has just been touching people's lives through these sermon-based growth groups. And this is basically when someone comes into Woodbridge and says, well, if discipleship happens in meaningful relationships, so where is meaningful relationships happening in this church? And I tell them, the primary vehicle of meaningful relationships at Woodbridge is happening in our growth groups every week, in our small groups. Every week. So this week's our kickoff. We have about 20 small groups kicking off this week. What's going to happen this week is they will all take their notes from this morning, and they'll meet in small groups. And what happens is as you've been taking notes, you bring your notes, you begin reading, and you talk about the message. Basically, what happens is people gather together, they have a time of prayer, they'll reread the scriptures, and then they'll start going through the notes, and people will start sharing and talking about the message, and you know what we and there's actually questions that kind of spur in discussion, and people begin going for it, and they're just organic, and the groups go off. They're meeting in homes, and people begin to share. You there, this person, that person, this person, that person. It's awesome. By the end of it, people pray with one another. And it's done. It's about like an hour, hour and a half. People are done with these small groups. Okay, what has this done to this church? It's just done a few things. Number one, it's increased attentiveness on Sunday morning. Because people, if you're going to talk about this message on Tuesday night with your group, guess what you're doing right now? You're listening, right? And not only that, you're note-taking. You're stirring it in. Because you know you're going to be talking about this message. It increases application of the message. You hear a message, but then you go talk about it. I've always used this analogy. You know, does everyone like chocolate milk, right? I have a glass of chocolate or milk, and I pour the chocolate in. Am I done? No. You stir it. Well, you know what? Small groups is where you stir in the message with each other. We're all here. We heard the message. It stirs it in. Application's better. It creates church-wide unity and focus in the same direction, because we're all as a church going one direction. And it creates easy on-ramps for new people to get plugged into the church. When people show up 3 weeks from now, brand new person, and they're like, hey, how do we get in a small group? Well, this one's already started. You can't join that. Yes, you can, because they're talking about the same message that you just heard today. All you got to do is take your notes and show up and journey with us. It's easy on-ramps. It's perfect. And people for our multicultural church, people of 23 different countries, there are many people in here that listen to this message, and then in their growth group, they can discuss the message in their own native tongue, and they stir it in. And it helps people to grow deeper in the Word, meaningful relationships. It helps us all to understand more, and you know what? It makes our church a better church, and we're practicing the model of the Christians 2,000 years ago. They met in homes. Well, how did they do it? We don't know. We just know they met in homes. This helps our church be better, and it helps us as people be better, and it's a good thing. It's pretty simple. It's pretty powerful, and it's awesome. So I asked Dr. Carr to come up. Dr. Carr leads a small group. It's an interesting small group. I was just at a small group last Tuesday. My wife and I went to it. And in the midst of the small group, a little guy ran across butt naked right in our growth group. Because their growth group is a crazy growth group. There's a bunch of kids and diapers and changing and breast. I mean, all the things happening. And I think these people need to be applauded that every week they would get together in this growth group and this season of life that they're in to do this. And so, Doc, where are you? There he is. Can everybody say hello to Dr. Carr this morning?
All right. I thought my wife was coming up here, but...
She's afraid.
At the last second, she said, no, I'm not going up there. I had this little earpiece in. So Pastor Frank called me last night, and he said, hey, can you come up and talk a little bit about your growth group? And so, of course, I said, I'll be honored to do that. Look, our growth group is one of many growth groups here. 20, you said now, that we have.
I think 20 are going to start this week.
Is totally awesome. Our growth group, if you have kids and you want to bring them over to terrorize everybody, our growth group is... No, just kidding. Our growth group is the one. We meet on Tuesdays at 6:30. And it starts with my lovely wife over here preparing a meal for everybody. And if you've never had Cheryl food, Cheryl, at least stand up. If you've never had Cheryl food, then come have Cheryl food. Because it's amazing food. And we have 30 minutes where we just socialize and just catch up. And like, hey, man, what's going on? How's things going? And you get to know people. And what you do is you get to know people and their family. And their extended family, and their friends, and their work, and what they do. And you kind of just melt together, and you become a big family and a big community. And I guess, you know, Frank asked me if I could share something about growth group and an experience, perhaps, that we've had. And I would say it's hard. It's hard because there's so many good experiences. But, you know, brothers and sisters, we have a living God, and things that are alive do stuff, right? There's action, and there's interaction, which is what we're doing today. And that's what we do, is we interact with one another to glorify God and his purpose that he has for us. I mean, some of us may know, some of us are still wondering what our purpose is, but to see growth group and to see faith in action is really such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And the encouragement, it's, you know, getting to know people. We have people that come to our growth group that aren't even members of our church. We have people come to our growth group that are from our neighborhood or our old neighborhood. And in our growth group, we actually had somebody who was totally a non-believer. He kind of knew, but he didn't really know. You know what I mean? He kind of knew, but he didn't really know. And by the time he left... He bore his testimony to us and told us that, you know, he knew now that we have a living God and that Jesus was a Savior. And for me, that just that experience, just being with people, because we're all so flawed, each and every one of us. You know, we come to church on Sunday and we hear these great, great lessons. And then we go off on our own way. And growth group is an opportunity to get together with your family, to have new family members. And if there's somebody out here today who's not a member of a growth group, there's no pressure. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't even have to own a Bible, right? Just come on in and get to know people. And nobody's going to, like, hold you down and throw you in the bathtub and baptize you, right? I mean, it's just about good community is what it's about. And I guess the final thing that I would say, a great experience that we've had in our growth group, is our growth group has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And believe it or not, people are popping out more and more babies. And now the young adults come and help us with the kids.
Yeah.
And this picture, this is, so behind that's the kitchen. That's where magic happens. That's where Cheryl does Cheryl food. And these are some folks here that don't even come to our church. And, you know, we just love everybody that comes. It's just a great thing. And they're getting ready to leave. And so we just get together and we pray for each other. And we're all there for each other. And I would say that really to me is the church family. That's the essence where we can take today's lesson and we could stir it into our lives. I love that example, just stirring it into your lives. And it gives it longevity. You know, when you read something, you remember a little bit about it. But then when you go back and you study it, you remember a little bit more about it. But then when you go do what you've read and studied about, it really kind of sinks in. And that's knowing that we have a living God. So that's kind of my growth group experience.
Right on, Doc. That's what I need you to do. Thanks, bro. Just leave, if you would, leave that up there. And let me just read this and tell me if you don't think this might be happening. He commands us to love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, admonish one another, greet one another, serve one another, teach one another, honor one another, bear one another's burdens, rejoice with one another, be devoted to one another. Is that picture just perfect? This is what happened 2,000 years ago, I'm convinced. Absolutely convinced. You know, I was thinking about this week. Jesus is not asking you to do anything that he doesn't already do for you. When Jesus commands us to do these things, I was just thinking about this. Jesus is not asking you to do anything that he doesn't already do for you every day. When Jesus tells you to love one another, didn't he say in John 13, a new commandment I give you to love one another, just as I have loved you? Do you notice that he's not asking you to do something that he hasn't already done for you already? These are things that we as Christians are supposed to be doing. Does Jesus love you? Yes or no? Has anyone had a hard look at the cross lately? Does Jesus pray for you? It says in the scriptures, he intercedes for you all the time. You. Does Jesus encourage you? He encourages me. Does he admonish you? Does Jesus greet you unto himself? Does Jesus serve you, people? Has Jesus washed your feet? Right? He's asking you to serve one another. He's not asking you to do anything that he's already hasn't doing for you every day. Jesus serves you every day. He's asking you to teach one another. Does Jesus teach you? Of course. Jesus asks you to accept one another. Does Jesus accept you? He does. Just the way you are. God loves you just the way you are. But he loves you so much that he won't let you stay the way you are. And that's a good thing. Jesus loves you the way you are, but he loves you so much he's not going to let you stay the person that you are. He honors you, he accepts you, he bears your burdens. Jesus rejoices with you, and he cries with you, man. The primary way that we do these things at this church is in growth groups. And it starts this week. The church, the train's leaving the station today. And my prayer is that none of you will miss it. My prayer is that none of you in here will miss the train. For 13 weeks, starting now, all the way to the first week in December, we're going to be meeting in small groups, and you are all invited. There is a growth group for every person here. We have growth groups meeting early in the mornings, late at nights, almost any and every day of the week. If you're here today and you're going, you know, man, that's cool. You know, I think I've got a group of people that I know we're not in a group. I like to start one. Great. We'll teach you how to do it. It's pretty simple. There is a growth group for every person in this room at any time, any place, any slot. It's happening. My encouragement to you is this. Join one. Start sharing your life with each other and start letting other people share their life with you. Start loving one another and serving one another and bearing each other's burdens. Be committed to one another in brotherly love. Next week, we're going to be talking. This whole next series on questions is awesome. I would so love it for you too, for all of you to get in a group that week and begin discussing these amazing topics that we're about to hit. Encouraging you. And that's how I save the world. And they're just listening. And that's how I save the world. Peter says in his sermon in chapter 4 that there is no name given amongst mankind in which we might be saved than the name of Jesus. Jesus. There is no other name given amongst humanity in which mankind may be saved except by the name of, and you say it,
Jesus.
Jesus dies for you. He lives for you. He knows you. He loves you. He created you. And as a child of God, people in my family, my kids all have responsibilities. I ask my, hey, take out the trash or do this or do that. Make your bed. Do you guys kind of have these? Do you know in God's family, we have responsibilities. We're supposed to love one another, honor one another, watch over each other. These are the character qualities of God's family. And he expects all of us to do this list that you have written down there. And he's not asking you to do anything that he isn't already doing for you every day of your life anyway. He's asking you to get in groups. I, as your pastor this week, am going to ask you, radically think about getting in a group this week. Pastor Frank, I'm too busy. I can't do this. Then you are too busy. You need to slow down and get in a group. Oh, I don't have time to deal in community. I don't have time to have relationships. I don't. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Would you please think about this? It's God's will for you to do these things. Where are you doing them at? How about joining a group this week? Give it a whirl. Okay? Did I sway anyone in here, man? I was driving here this morning going, God, is there anybody that I can push over the fence this morning? Is there anyone, Lord, you just want to kick over into the other side? I pray that that's you. I'm going to ask for the worship team to come up, and we're going to end our time in some great worship. There is an amazing song called There Is No Other Name, written right out of Acts chapter 4. There is no other name written amongst men in which mankind may be saved in the name of Jesus. This song, I just hum this song all the time. I absolutely love this song. And so we're going to be singing this song called There Is No Other Name, and then we're going to roll into Behold. And it's a great song, listen to it, of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'm going to invite you to worship the Lord in these songs. And I'm going to ask that you would just think about and meditate on the commandments of the Lord in your life. I'm also going to ask that people would come up here. If you're here today, people, just like we read in the book of Acts, it says there was awe and wonder because God was at work and moving in people's lives. Maybe you came to church this morning and you need prayer. Maybe you're here today, and we read in the scriptures that if you're seeking something heavy from the Lord, to seek out the leaders of the church and let them pray for you. Our Jesus heals bodies. Our Jesus sets captives free. Our Jesus releases the brokenhearted. And if you're here today and you just need people to pray for you, we're going to ask you during these next few songs of worship to come forward and let us pray for you. I'm going to ask my wife to come and stand next to me. I want to ask for my brother Mike to come up and pray with me today. Pastor Vince is going to be up in the balcony. We have the Chows are going to be up in the balcony. The Melendrezes are gone today, but that's okay. We're going to be here to pray with you. So we'd love to pray with you. Holy Spirit, Jesus sent you into our lives. He told us to wait in Jerusalem until you came within us, and then we would have power to be the witnesses that you've called us to be. When the Spirit of God comes upon our lives, we are more loving and more caring. When we learn not just to be born of the Spirit, but to walk in the power and the Spirit of God, to be filled with your Spirit, Lord, we ask, God, that you would fill us this morning, Lord. I pray for all of my brothers and sisters in here who are not happy in their spiritual journeys. Maybe they're feeling kind of bored in their walk with Jesus. Maybe they're feeling unchallenged. I ask, God, that you would push them into a group and that you would get them in a community of people that would spur them on toward love and good deeds, that would spur them on in encouragement and relationships, God. Lord, I pray for those, Lord, that just feel distant from you, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would draw these people deeper into community and that, God, you would speak into their lives through others and through your word. Lord, we pray, God, that you would heal us this morning, that you would renew us this morning, that, Lord, you would hit delete in all the trash that we've had go on this last week. Cleanse us this morning. Teach us again how you've saved us, how you've saved the world. Teach us again, Lord, your call in our lives, that you call us for something more. Speak into our hearts.